Secret tantric treatises point out that a woman's upper lip is one of the most highly erogenous parts of her body. We begin today's podcast by discovering the fascinating secrets of the upper lip. Continuing our investigation into consecration, we bring you part 3 and 4 in the series, in which we answer some of your questions on how to offer the fruits of your actions to the divine and thus to receive divine fruits. Today's meditation will be the state of consecration. Our yogi hosts, Tiger Lily, Amaris, and Valentino, will also keep you company.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris. The secret of the upper lip. When a man kisses a woman's upper lip, this is called the kiss of the upper lip. During this time, the woman has to kiss in a sensuous manner the man's lower lip. The Kama Sutra. Tantric secret treatises point out that a woman's upper lip is one of the most erogenous parts of her body. They explain this unusual sensitivity in terms of the existence of a subtle energetic channel, or nadi, that connects the palate, the upper lip, and the clitoris. This nadi also bears the name of the spiral channel of wisdom, owing to its shell-like form, especially at its lower end. Several texts suggest that intense, passionate kissing of the upper lip, or even oral sex, creates a special energetic circuit. Both the famous Kama Sutra and the Anangaranga speak about the kissing of the upper lip. A virile and powerful man may stimulate a woman's upper lip using his lips, tongue, and teeth, as well as by sucking her lip while she does the same to his lower lip. The Japanese pressure applied with one's fingers, shiatsu, connects the upper lip with the sexual and digestive areas. Careful and systematic massage of the upper lip frees the sexual energy and intensifies erotic experiences. An ancient Hindu tradition indicates that the mother should apply a mixture made of gold powder and honey on the tongue and upper lip of the newly born children. This magic rite is recommended especially in the case of baby girls, as it is supposed to increase their beauty and prosperity. Goraksha Vijaya, an important yoga text, states that, quote, "There is a secret channel that unifies the moon center, the opening of the mouth, and the upper lip, and this channel bears the name Shankini Nadi. This channel is winding as a snake with a mouth at both ends, and it goes down to the lotus in which the nectar of immortality flows. This secret channel, or nadi, is known as the 10th, or the secret door through which flows the subtle nectar of spiritual immortality." End quote. If a vital, sensual woman can visualize this nadi uniting her upper lip and her clitoris, she will activate this channel, and then she will be able to consciously direct her sexual energy through this channel. This secret channel is like an empty tube that vibrates at an extraordinary speed, and it is shaped as a snail shell in its lower part. Deep conscious breathing, combined with firm contractions of the yoni, considerably stimulate this nadi. If a woman is able to control the energy passing through this secret channel, she will be capable of producing her lover great pleasure. Quote, "When the woman is filled with desire, she should gently and sensually kiss the man's lower lip. The man should now kiss bite and massage her upper lip. Thus, both lovers will reach high levels of sexual arousal, and their growing passion will make them experience intense pleasure. End quote. Dhyanangaranga.
This is Tantra FM, the key to your heart. I am your host, Valentino. On Consecration, Part 3. Question: if we successfully consecrate, does that mean that the particular action will no longer have any karmic effects on us? Answer: true. Provided that the consecration is done correctly, and, of course, that God answers. It is not enough to say, God, I offer thee these fruits of my actions today. If we do not feel the answer afterwards as a state of ecstatic communion with God, then it cannot be said that we have truly done the consecration and that we will not be chained by the fruits of that action. Because of that action, we will be obligated to reincarnate and receive its fruits, whatever they may be. Therefore, it is not enough to consecrate. We also have to feel that our consecration has been received. And this does not necessarily have to manifest as an inner voice which says, yes, my son, it is all right. It is perceived as an inner state, inexpressible, but which appears clearly and doubtlessly, like something elevating, transfiguring, which makes us divine for a fraction of a second, or even for several minutes continuously. And which shows us that we can go on and perform that action because, as I've said before, an action which has already been performed can never be consecrated to God afterwards. It is impossible, and you can be sure that God will never receive any of the bad actions which you perform, saying to yourself, if I consecrate this, it will have no negative effects on me because I have consecrated to God this act of black magic which I will perform to kill my neighbor who has been upsetting me lately. If I do this, God will receive it and help me, and I will not retain any bad karma, and I will be feared as a black magician, because all my evil actions will belong to God. I shall only reap the benefits, because it was God that actually killed the man, not me. Wrong. Please do not feed such delusions into your foolish mind, because such a thing is out of the question. God does not support such actions, and even if you consecrate them, the answer will always be no. The same goes with any other aberrant, paranoid actions which you might get inspired to do by demonic or satanic forces. It is not enough to offer. This offering of your actions must also be received. Do not think for a second that the divinity will accept any such deviations. Question: if we want to consecrate a certain action that has our transformation as a goal, for example, an action of mental purification, or whatever we consider that we need, what implications does such a consecration have? Answer: if the fruits of the action are truly offered to the divine, then this consecration can only have divine and beneficial fruits, the complete liberation from the fruits of the action we are performing, and at the same time allowing God to manifest through us and accomplish what we have consecrated to Him. This way, we can truly open ourselves up to God. Consecrating, for instance, the fruits of a session of asanas to the divinity will doubtlessly open us up even more, and thus His grace, power, inspiration, and energy will flow into our being, and the quality of the states we shall experience during this session will be extraordinary. That is why it is so important to consecrate the fruits of our actions to God. Only then can we receive the force, inspiration, and all the support we need so that our action will be integrated within the divine harmony. To forget to consecrate would mean that the respective action, even if it is a spiritual one, will be made with one's own forces. It will be an egotistical action which will generate karmic effects afterwards. In such a situation, we shall have to deal with the fruits of this action of future incarnation, in which we shall get the precise compensation for what we have done. Also, in such a situation, if we did not reach spiritual liberation, we shall reincarnate and we shall live for example in an ashram, in order to benefit from the spiritual environment there. But this reincarnation will be mandatory and we will have no choice but to accept it. We will not be able to escape if, for example, we have performed initiations for a certain cosmic power, forgetting to make the consecration even a few times and thus initiating 6,000 people in an egotistical way. We will end up incarnating about 20 times in different ashrams on this planet or on other planets where we must benefit from the spiritual atmosphere which we deserve. It is mandatory. We cannot escape by saying, I don't want this anymore, I've had enough. So whether we like it or not, we will have to bear the consequences of our actions. In the situation where we initiate 6 million people by first performing the consecration, the energy will come from God. We won't feel exhausted, drained, or finished. But we will feel that we are integrated, that our actions are fluid, that an infinite force supports us, and finally we will notice that we are free, that we cannot expect any consequences from our actions, because they will not produce any fruits. We shall not be obligated to reincarnate like in the previous situation, when the one who gave the same initiation forgot to consecrate it to God. They are two different actions which, when seen from the outside, can make an ignorant person say they are the same thing. The major difference is that one consecrates and the other one doesn't. But let's say both of them will perform the initiation in Tara's mantra. For example, in two different cities. One will be exhausted and drained because he was working with his own energy, and the other will be able to initiate another 10,000 people or more after he has finished with the 6,000. Why? Because in the first example, the person functions with the energies which belong to his ego, as an individual being, while in the second example, the person is integrated from the divine point of view, and all the energy comes from that particular cosmic power. When the second person consecrates, he is integrated into a circuit that allows God to manifest through him. In the first example, he does not and is therefore alone. Sure, he might be able to contact that particular cosmic power, but the support for his vitality can break at any time. For example, if somebody gives this initiation and has to stand up for 8 hours, if he consecrated, he will not feel tired at all. In a similar case, but without the consecration, he will notice that after 2 to 3 hours, his legs will really start to hurt. Even if he performs it as an altruistic or spiritual action, his physical energy will leave him. Why? Because he only uses his ego for support, acting as an individual. After a successful consecration, the energy needed will come from God, and it will compensate for what little he has as an individual. Instead of just helping him stand for 2 hours, it can help him stand for 20 hours or more, making him wonder how exactly he made it that long. In any other situation, he would get tired and have to stop. Why? Because he's not acting in accordance with God's will and is not in direct communion with him. On Consecration, Part 4. Question. In the case of an amorous act with someone who does not practice yoga, is it enough that only the one who practices yoga make the consecration? Answer. Yes, it is enough, but it is still mandatory. And if you are with a person who is suspicious and feels that it is strange that you have to hold hands for 3 to 4 minutes, you can do the consecration alone, or you can go to the toilet, for example, and consecrate for them. Visualize their face, even think that they are in front of you holding your hands, and you will feel integrated. The answer will come from God. If an answer doesn't come, then refrain from doing that action, because this clearly shows that there is something wrong. That person could be sick or have who knows what karmic past, which means that they are not allowed to perform that action with you. God only knows what the problem could be, but it is clear that you should not implicate yourself. You should stop, even if it was an exciting and passionate moment. Talk about something else and try again later or the next day. Maybe it was just not the right moment. If you get the same result when you try again, it is clear that you cannot make love with that person. For those of you who still have problems with continence, both men and women, you should take into account that a consecration received by God will help you immensely with your continence. There were even some people who, after consecrating their fusion for the first time to God, or to a certain cosmic power, said that although their continence was quite weak, they noticed that their control improved by quite a lot. Some said that there were moments when they were very close to the point of no return, and they wondered how exactly they did not ejaculate, as if a miracle or something helped them, so that they could go on and make love without losing their control. It is worth keeping this in mind because it can help you immensely. Even the state you get as an answer when you consecrate to God or to a cosmic power changes your life for the better. The person with whom you make love will become more harmonious. He or she will also feel a state of much greater happiness. The final feeling of harmony, of communion, of fulfillment, and of an expanded consciousness is much more intense and refined. All these aspects are obviously to your benefit. Although the fruits of this action do not belong to you, the benefits which you get are immense, and this should determine you to never forget to consecrate and, of course, to begin only after you receive an answer. Question: can the androgynous state only be obtained after you reach the state of perfection? Answer: you should know that the androgynous state marks the attainment of the state of perfection. The one who reaches the androgynous state simultaneously attains the state of perfection, and you don't have to reach the state of perfection before you attain the androgynous state. The one who wants it very much can reach it through relationship in a couple. And in the moment when the androgynous state will be thoroughly realized within himself, that man or woman will realize at the same time the state of perfection. Of course, by only reaching the first steps of androgyny, does not mean you have also reached a full state. Also, to attain it as part of a couple does not imply that both lovers will attain it either. There are situations when the woman can attain the androgynous state and the man cannot, or the other way around. Why? Because one of them may not yet have the necessary spiritual inclinations, or is simply not interested. This does not mean that the one who wants to attain the androgynous state will be handicapped because the other one does not want it. The androgynous state can still be attained even in this case, provided that continence has been perfected. Do not fool yourself by saying, even if I am not continent, I can still attain the androgynous state.
Hello, and welcome to Tantra FM, the guide to sacred love. I'm your host, Tiger Lily. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme, the state of consecration. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we are meditating upon, we shall use a musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana or Padmasana. For those of you who are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, neck and head are straight and in a vertical position. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you are bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you are eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb your meditation. Now we are ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the state of consecration. That's all we have time for today. I'm Tiger Lily, wishing you love and light.